except, of course, our family photos and, miraculously, my favorite white sofa. We'd be forced to start fresh on our house, and this time I'd do it right without having to deal with all of our old crap. My fantasy of becoming a private minimalist didn't seem likely. Wanting a second home so it could basically be empty was the craziest idea ever. And I'm embarrassed to admit that I've fantasized about our house being destroyed just so I didn't have to deal with a bunch of junk. I've also secretly wished I could have just one day in the county jail so I could simply read a book without interruption or stare at the wall and have meals delivered to my room. I probably need to see a counselor. Or just rent a hotel room so my books and I can have some alone time. Regardless, my view of minimalism slowly shifted, and I began to reconsider my definition of enough. The accidental minimalist home. In order to have some sanity in our fixer-upper while our kitchen was being demolished, I kept almost everything packed away in boxes, especially when it came to our family room, which is our family headquarters. I'd love to tell you that I did this on purpose, but I kept our family room sparse mostly because I was lazy and had no idea how I wanted to decorate the space. For months, we had only the essentials, places to sit, lighting, and a throw to snuggle under. It was so easy to keep clean. The emphasis was completely on the stuff we loved and used daily because I didn't have the bandwidth to deal with anything else. I started to appreciate walls with less stuff, the invitation of a cleared-off surface, and the quiet beauty of a home that had only what we needed. Having space in the house somehow magically translated into the feeling that I had space in my life. Breathing room on my walls, on my floors, and on my surfaces gave me breathing room in my life. I felt like I'd been holding my breath for years without realizing it, and now my simple home was like a big exhale I desperately needed. Home was a place I liked coming back to, a place that didn't demand more energy than I had. Somehow my house became a quiet place, even in the midst of remodeling. Isn't that crazy? Our home didn't even have a kitchen. We had temporary walls made of plastic and cardboard. All my beloved stuff was packed away, and yet, for the first time in a long time, home felt like a place of rest. Without excess stuff sitting around and needing to be managed, I could concentrate on all the stuff that really mattered, like family and friendships and life. There is a way of being a minimalist that I can't get behind. It's having less stuff for less stuff's sake. A race to the least is just as meaningless as a race to the most. Only own 4 items of clothing? If there is a purpose to that beyond just having less, then great. But when there is no purpose, minimal is cold. I started thinking about the word minimal in terms of purpose and came up with this definition. Minimal is just enough to meet a goal. Why use more when you don't have to? Isn't that wasteful and troublesome? Instead of feeling like minimal was a punishment, I realized it could be a gift, both to myself and to everyone who lived in or visited our home. I had rejected the gift of simplicity for far too long, and now I was craving less. I wanted more and more of less. Joshua Becker, author of the Graceful Minimalist book, The More of Less, has the best definition of minimalism out there. Minimalism is the intentional promotion of the things we most value and the removal of anything that distracts us from them. At its heart, according to Joshua, minimalism isn't about getting rid of stuff and doing without. It's about focusing on the right stuff. We get to decide what stuff is important and give ourselves permission to get rid of the rest. This is something I can get behind, and it's something I experienced firsthand when I accidentally created a minimalist room in my house while we were renovating. I simply promoted the things I valued the most and didn't include the stuff that distracted me. Lo and behold, I loved it. We're all probably tired of the William Morris quote, "Have nothing in your house that you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful." I'm tired of it myself. But I realized every time I read that quote, I mentally emphasized the word.